Okay, Brother Roy. I'm trying to get your attention. Unless not. I kept looking, you never would look. Come down just a little bit. This one. There you go. Proverbs chapter 27. Down just a hair, please. Roy. Now, I'm going to bring you a message this morning that I really hadn't planned on bringing, but the Lord just would not let this thought get off my mind. I feel like there's someone here this morning who needs to hear it. I hope you'll listen carefully. I want to preach to you this morning on the subject, the devil's best trick. The devil's best trick. And it's found there in Proverbs 27 and verse 1. And it says, boast not. Is that right? What it says? Boast not thyself. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Boy, if there's ever a trick the devil pulls on people, it's making you think you've got plenty of time to do whatever you want to do. I want to preach to you on procrastination. That's the word we use for it. What that really means is putting off till tomorrow what you know you ought to do today. And I want you to listen carefully and pray. And I feel like there's probably somebody here in this church this morning that deep, deep down inside your heart, you know things are not right between you and God. Things you've never been saved, or else you have been saved and you're not living like you should. And you're just putting it off and putting it off and putting it off, waiting on a better time. They asked Alexander the Great one time, he supposedly conquered the whole known world during his time, and they asked him, how did you do this in such a short life? You're so young. How did you get all this done? And his answer was, by not delaying. He said, I just went ahead and did it. If I saw something to do, I just did it. Didn't wait. Didn't sit down and figure and count and everything. He said, I just did what I knew I had to do. The definition of procrastination is putting off what you know you should do, thinking the right time has not come. Now, there's a misconception about being saved in our generation, and it's like every misconception. It's part true and part not true. And that is that, listen carefully, that is that there's only a certain time, or that there is not a good time to be saved. A lot of people say, well, I just don't feel like it's my time, preacher. And I know I need to get saved, and I know I need to get right, but I just don't feel like it's my time. Now, I don't mean to disagree with you, but I've got to believe what the Bible says, and the Bible don't say that. You want me to tell you what the Bible says? The Bible said, my time has not yet come, the Lord said, but your time is always ready. You know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 6:2? Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. Do you know what the Bible said in Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7? The Bible said, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Well, it's ridiculous to think God would want you to stay in your sins a few more days longer until that He decides He wants you to quit sinning. Yeah, I mean, you're a day late already, brother, on this thing. You're a day late already. You know when God wants you to be saved? God wants you to be saved this morning. You say, how I know He really wants you to? Because we know He don't want you to live in sin another day. That's ridiculous. People say, well, I believe I'll get saved whenever God wants me to. You know when that is? Right now. Right now. God wants you to get saved today. You say, how do you know? I'm fixing to show you. Bible said in James 4:14, what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. And, of course, the verse that I read to you. This thing about procrastination, the first thing I'm going to say about it, and that is that's common to human nature. And the reason it's so hard for us to really do what we need to do for God is because our nature is put off doing anything that you don't want to do. Isn't that right? Now, everybody that's a husband in here this morning knows exactly what I'm talking about. You wives know what I'm talking about. You've tried to get him to fix that that leak under that sink for 6 months, and He's told you 179 times that He's going to do it. I'm going to. You never have done it. I know. Just lay off of me. I'm going to, right? That's what He said. I'm going to do it. But there's something in our nature that if we don't want to do something, we just kind of put it off. There's certain things that I dread like crazy. Getting your taxes filled out. Going to the dentist. Then there are things like that. You say, well, there's something weird about you if you enjoy stuff like that. That's not normal to enjoy that. I mean, somebody sticking a needle in your gum, man, you got some twisted ideas of what pleasure is if that's stuff that you enjoy doing. I can't stand the thought. I'm a big chicken when it comes to somebody sticking a needle in my gum. I'm afraid they're going to stick it through and into my tongue or something. It's going to kill me. But I'm saying anything we don't want to do, we put it off. We put off going to the doctor. A lot of people get real bad sick because they let it go and let it go and let it go. And the doctor told us that if you'd come in right when you first felt that pain or what, you know, then maybe this wouldn't have happened to you. We put it off and put it off and put it off. I've told you many times when I was growing up, my job was to take out the trash. My mom says, take out the trash. And I still do. And take out the trash. My wife does it most of the time. Put it out there in the back of the truck. When it gets a lot in there, I haul it off. But you know what I'd do? The trash can would get almost full. And they'd say, all right, Danny, take out the trash. And I'd say, well, it ain't full yet. And we'd go, let it go another half a day. And they'd say, you better take out that trash. And I'd say, no, it ain't full yet. And they'd say, you better take... And when it got full, I'd always go over and hold it on this side and take my foot and put it down there and just compact it in there, right? And just mash it down in there where it just... Well, you can fill it up halfway again if you do that. And you've done that, right? Haven't you done that? But then it finally comes to a point where you walk in the house one day and it's a real hot day and you've been gone all day, and when you open the door, there's a whang hit your nose. And it just kind of twists your nose around and you say, Lord have mercy, what is that? And you follow it and it gets stronger as you go to the kitchen. And then finally, there it is. You know what it is. It's banana peelings and all kinds of old jelly and diapers and everything. And, oh, it's got in there and soured, man. And I mean, you just can't understand it. It's time to take the trash out, see? And that's when you take it out, when it lets you know something ain't right. Now, what we do is we put it off. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, you know what they did, don't you? Now, I believe this. I believe Adam knew he was going to have to face God. Adam knew that the day was going to come eventually when he's going to have to face God and get it over with. But Adam and Eve hid, didn't they? They hid and they hid. It's natural. It's natural for you to sit there. It's natural. You hearing me? It's common to your nature to sit there. And when I give the invitation, sit there and say, well, I know he's right and I know I need to, but not this morning. Not this morning. Not today. Maybe next Sunday. Maybe later. That's natural. It's natural for you to do that, but it's wrong. That's a wrong choice to make. You're procrastinating. You're putting it off. You're putting it off. I want to say this morning, and I'm going to say a few other things here this morning quickly. There is people this morning that have done dead and gone and buried this morning that intended to come to church today. There are people like that. And they're in heaven or hell, depending on what they've done with Jesus Christ. I tell you today, there are people that are in their grave this morning who was planning on going to church this Sunday morning. You don't know if you've got another Sunday left. You don't know, my friends, if you're ever going to live through another week. The Bible said, don't boast of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. There is even now a procrastinators club in America. And all these procrastinators got together and formed them a club. They have their meeting every year, and it's always a week late. Whatever date they announce it, you come a week later, and that's the meeting. They have about 80 members now, and they have rules. If you pay your dues on time, you're kicked out. They believe their motto is, anything worth doing is worth putting off. And people enjoy that. But you see, you got to face it sooner or later. They said when Mount Pelee, that volcano erupted in 1902, killing 30,000 people in one of the worst natural disasters in the history of the world. 30,000 people got wiped out when that volcano blew that stuff all over that community. And they said the sad thing about it was that those people had been warned and warned and warned to get out of that community because that thing was going to blow. And you know what they did? They said, one more day. Didn't do it yesterday. One more day. It'll be all right. We made it this week. We can make it another week. We'll get out one of these days. Not this week. Having too much fun. The devil's best trick on you is to make you sit there this morning in this church and say, well, I'm gonna party one more week. I'm going to live it up one more week. I know what that preacher's saying is right, and maybe God won't let nothing bad happen to me because I am in church this morning. See me, Lord? I'm sitting down here listening to Him now. See me right here? But I'm telling you, that listen to me. Listen to me, folks. God already has a day marked on the calendar when you're leaving this world. And you don't know when it is, and I don't know when it is. And it pays to be ready. Listen, I'm headed out in the morning, Lord willing, to Charlotte. I'll be getting on a jet and going to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And then from Pittsburgh, I get on another one and go to Flint, Michigan. And you know how them things have been doing lately. And buddy, I'll tell you what, when I get on one of them things, first thing I do is I sit down, and I sit down on the seat, and I make an altar out of the seat in front of me. I always stick my knees up against that seat in front of me like it's a little altar. And I get down and I say, oh God, would you please take all the cusses and the damns and the curse. They've been cussing that thing all morning. And I don't want to go up in one of them things that's cursed. And I said, God, get rid of these curses off this thing and get us where we're going. And you know when that thing takes off? There you go. You never know. You never know. I mean, you know, you're in somebody's hands. And, you know, but I want to tell you folks something this morning. You listen to me? That may happen tomorrow. I may never make it to Flint, Michigan. I can stand here this morning. You remember me say this? I can stand here this morning and say I know that I'm ready to go. My heart's right with the Lord. As far as I know, everything's right between me and Him. I know where I'm going when I die. I know that I'm saved by the grace of God. I know that I made things right back at Nebo Baptist Church as an 18-year-old boy. I got in while I had a chance. Thank God I didn't put it off. You imagine as that jet went down a few weeks ago, the prayers that were being prayed on that thing, they said those last 23 seconds going down 300 miles an hour, and that thing smacked the ground like that, drove it down into the earth. They were testing around down there to see if the Richter scale had been moved like it was an earthquake. Can you imagine the prayers? Can you imagine if you had 23 seconds knowing you was going to die? It'd be, oh God, I'm sorry. Oh God, please no. Oh God, please no. Say, that's putting it off a little late, ain't it? You can get up and walk down here this morning of your own free will. Get your heart right with God. Get off them sins out there. Get your life changed. Turn to Jesus Christ. Repent and walk out of here this morning right with God and knowing where you're going when you die. You can do it. You can do it if you will. If you will. You say, well, preacher, I'm just going to wait. That's a big mistake. That's a big mistake. Let me give you some reasons people give for procrastinating. People say, well, I just can't live right in my situation. And they say, well, I've had people tell me. They say, well, in the situation I'm in, I can't live right. And I say, what do you mean, situation you're in? They say, well, you're shacking up, right? Is that what you're trying to say? Well, yeah. And I say, okay, all right, here's what you can do. You ain't willing to go to hell for her, are you? Oh, no, sir, I wouldn't go to hell for her. You ain't willing to go to hell for him, are you? No, I'm not willing to go to hell. I said, okay, you got two choices. Get right with God, bust up, or get married. Amen? Quit fooling around all your life, man. You're going to die one of these days. You say that's awful plain talk for a preacher. No. That's not too plain. It's just... You watch TV so much, you don't really know. You're not exposed to the real world. See, you just hear that soft stuff all the time, and you need to hear it. But the truth is, you need to do whatever you need to do to go to heaven. Amen? If it's smoking pot, throw it away. If it's drinking liquor, get rid of it. I had a girl tell me here a while back, about 13, 14 years old, thought she was pregnant. She didn't tell me. She told one of our ladies. She was trying to talk to me, and I sicked the lady on her. I said, here, take her back there and talk to her. And they took her back in the back room. She thought she was pregnant. And her boyfriend, 19, she was about 13. And that old boy was using that poor kid. And she didn't have enough sense to realize she thought he loved her and all this kind of stuff. And brother, he had lied to that kid. And we tried to tell her, just, listen, there ain't no boyfriend worth going to hell for. There ain't no sin worth going to hell for. There's no habit worth going to hell for. Whatever. You say, well, I just don't want to quit. You're going to quit anyway. Man said, I don't want to quit drinking. You're going to. One of them old country singers said, well, if there ain't no whiskey in heaven, I don't want to go. Somebody forgot to tell that poor nut that there ain't no whiskey in hell neither. He never thought of that, did he? You're going to quit. I mean, the question is when. The question is when. You're going to quit. There ain't no whiskey in heaven. There ain't no wine in heaven. They might be some grape juice glorified, but it won't be fermented hooch that'll make you drunk. Man, people walk around heaven drunk. We're in for it, you know, because they can't even get killed up there. But hey, it's not going to happen. I mean, we're going to a place where there ain't going to be no sin. We're going to a place where there ain't going to be no unrighteousness. It's going to be holy and right. You just might as well get ready now. You just might as well quit waiting, man. Quit waiting. Get down here and get saved. Get down to this altar. Be a man this morning. Face your responsibility. Say, I'm tired of putting it off. I'm going to walk down there like a grown man ought to and get my heart right with God. And I'm going to leave out of here this morning saved by the grace of God. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've got to work and my job. I have to work on Sundays and my job. I just happen to be off today and all that. Well, let me tell you something. Brother, he who provides for this life but takes no thought for eternity is wise for a moment but a fool forever. You say my sins are beyond my control, preacher. I just cannot quit sinning. Listen, you can conquer a bad habit easier today than you will be able to tomorrow. By putting it off, you're not going to have more strength to overcome that sin. Long you wait, the harder it's going to be. And by the way, let me say this. If God's big enough to save you, He's big enough to help you live right. A lot of people don't get saved because they think, well, there's just no way I can quit this. And there's just no way I can quit that. You're looking at it from a man's point of view. When God does a miracle in your heart, He changes your desires and He'll give you the strength to quit doing whatever you need to quit doing. I believe that. It works. Man said, well, I just can't quit cussing. Yeah, you can. The Lord take your cusser out. He can perform a cussoctomy on you. That's a brand new word right there. First time that's ever been said in the history of the world. Amen. That's a good one, man. We ought to write that down, folks. If you're educated like me, you can think up stuff like that. Now listen, listen. They said in 1962, that's the year Marilyn Monroe died. As far as anybody knows, lost without God. She had been fooling around with Anton LaVey, the pastor of the First Church of Satan in San Francisco. She was obsessed with him. But they had, you know, contact with him, those people back in those days. Or Jane Mansfield had, Marilyn Monroe had affiliations. She's fooling around with the president and his brother. Living a wicked life. I mean, just the life of a dog you'd see out here on the street. Like a pig. That's the way she lived, like a pig. You say, she was pretty. Yeah, but the Bible says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. You ever read that verse? A jewel of gold in a swine's snout. Man, that nails. You know, it's like putting a big pretty ring in a pig's nose and letting it lay in the slop and the puke and all that. That's Marilyn Monroe. You know what? Billy Graham woke up in, I think it was him sometime around Washington in a motel room, and he had a burden. This is 30-something years ago. And he had a burden for Marilyn Monroe, and he tried to get in touch with her, and her agent said, I'm sorry, she's in Europe or somewhere doing something. I forgot what they said. And he said, well, I need to talk to her. He said, I want to witness to her and tell her about God. And he had a burden. That was God and the devil fighting. God and the devil fighting and working. And just by the time he got word, 2 weeks later, they found her dead out there. You know what? Marilyn Monroe put it off too long. She thought, I'm a goddess. Nothing can happen to me. She's gone, man. She's gone. And Billy Graham never did get to talk to her. And it happens every day on a much smaller scale. You see the ambulance going up and down the street. You see the people going in the funeral home just every day, just all day, just in a little town like this. Brother, we're going. You better remember, it's a foolish thing to wait. That'll be the last thing I'll say. See how foolish it is. You cannot escape, hear me? You cannot escape the responsibility of tomorrow by evading it today. By just beating around the bush and dodging the issue, you cannot escape it. You're going to face it. You are going to face it. You are going to face it. In Pennsylvania, when the great Johnstown flood came, or the dam broke up there, rather, a man came through several months before and a few months before and warned those people, it's going to bust, it's going to break, it's going to bust, it's going to break, and the people wouldn't listen. But finally it did. It did. Brother, people don't listen. People don't listen. One man tried to get his friend saved. He said, can't I get you to get saved? And the man said, not today. 9 days later, that fellow was gone. It happens all the time. A young lady went to revival meeting, just like a church service like we have here. And we try to make our church service just like an old-fashioned revival meeting every Sunday. She went to revival meeting. She came in and sit and listened. God spoke to her heart. She knew she needed to come and get saved. And she said, I'll do it tomorrow. She went home. They found her a corpse, sitting in her bedroom upstairs. Don't even know what happened to her. Just boom, gone, just like that. They said the devil told them this up in a Christian school in Kentucky a few weeks ago. This illustration, with it I'll close. Years ago, the devil said, had a bunch of his demons meeting, and he said, we're going to have to figure out some way to get them on earth and mess them up, take them to hell. Has anybody got any ideas? And the first demon raised his hand. He said, Mr. Devil, let me go. I know. Let me go. I can tell. He said, yes, what you got on your mind? He said, I know what I'll do. He said, I'm going to go up there to earth and I'm going to start talking to them people. And I'm going to tell them that there ain't no God. I'm going to tell them that just they were a product of evolution and that there's no such thing as God. And just eat, drink, and be merry and forget about it and live the life the best you can. Can I go tell them? And the devil says, well, he said, that ain't going to work. He said, you might get a few educated nuts to believe that. But he said, anybody in their right mind knows that there's got to be a God. I mean, any thinking person knows you can't have a creation without a creator. It's impossible. It's a scientific impossibility for a creation to be here and ain't no creator. I mean, you couldn't, nobody in here, you couldn't believe that everything just popped out of nothing. He said, that's not going to happen. People ain't going to believe that. People ain't going to believe that. So the next demon raised his hand and said, Mr. Devil, let me go. Let me go. Let me go. Let me go. I'll tell them. He said, what are you going to tell them? He said, I'll tell them that there is a God. But he said, I'll just tell them that it's not the God of the Bible. That it's just a supreme being and, you know, he's way off out yonder somewhere and don't care about what happens to us. And he just created the world and he's done with it. And the Bible's not really true. And the devil said, no. He said, that ain't going to work. He said, why? He said, because, well, look at it, man. The Bible, it's survived the centuries. They've tried to destroy it. They've tried to get rid of it. He said, anybody in their right mind knows there's something different about that book there. Deep down inside you, you know the Bible's true. Yeah. I mean, there's just something that tells you it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true, it's true. And the devil said, then you're not going to get people to believe that. You might get a few people too, but most people believe it's true. And he said, okay. And the next little demon raised his hand. He said, what are you going to do? He said, let me go. He said, what are you going to say? He said, I'm going to go up there and I'm going to tell them that there is a God and that there's a judgment. He said, I'll tell them the Bible's true. And all the other devils went, what? He said, I'm even going to tell them there's a heaven. He said, I'm going to tell them everything the preacher says is right. He said, I'm even going to tell them there's a hell and their devil's real. And they said, what, have you lost your mind?
He said, no. He said, I'm going to tell them it's all true. But I'm going to tell them just to don't do nothing about it today. Just kind of just wait a while and put it off. And the devil said, that'll work. That'll work. Go. And ever since then, that little demon's been up here in church services just like this. And he'll go around all while I'm preaching. He'll say, yep, that's right. Well, what he's saying is truth. Can't argue with it. Don't die one of these days. It's all truth. But let's not today. Not today. There's a lot of people said that last Sunday. They're in churches in the world that are not here today. The devil's best trick is to get you to think, yeah, it's true, but I'm not going to do nothing about it today. You know what, some of you Christians, you know what? I know what y'all's problem is. You just think you got plenty of time. That's what your problem is. You think you got plenty of time. I'll get right one of these days, preacher. I'm really going to get on fire like I used to be and serve God. Boy, you used to visit. You used to tithe. You used to pray. I know what's wrong with you. You think, no big rush. That's the devil's trick. Don't let him play it on you. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. This morning, I feel like that God laid a message on my heart just for somebody here. And I feel like that deep down inside, there are those, that one of those here this morning, who knows that if you keep putting this thing off, and you keep putting it off, that one of these days, you're going to get caught. You're going to get caught red-handed. You're going to get caught unprepared. And for some of you, it would even be hell. We have folks already come to the altar this morning. If you need to come, you come. Heavenly Father, do what ought to be done in every heart this morning. I pray in Jesus' name, dear God, that You'd speak to that young man, that young lady, that mama, that daddy, boy, girl. Oh God, help them not to wait. To surrender all to Thee this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Heads are still...